I literally wanted to dive in this topic. Like, the first time I wanted to create a podcast. So, web development best practices, everyone. I am back after, I don't know, somewhat like 2.5 months, 2.5 crazy months. I've been struggling, having some issues in my life. I've been having some difficulties also in my side projects, but not in the working environment. Working environment has been doing good. So, back with web development best practices. I've been so excited for this title. I wanted to do this after the first and the second episodes that we had. Actually, the first one was about the front-end languages. Second one was about back-end languages. We discussed quite a few topics about front-end. We talked about React. We talked about how we can integrate back-end. Just general things on programming. So today we're going to be going back to what it is considered to be the very basics, fundamentals of web development. So best practices, what we should be doing theoretically on the web development aspect of the programming. So you want to be called a web developer. So what does a web developer do? How does a web developer think is the way to go is the first subject in this episode. So welcome to the Full Stack Radio episode 3. So the first one was the introduction. Second one was the front end skills, back end skills, the second one, and third episode talks about the best practices of web development. So we just emphasized the importance of building foundational skills. Like, the first chapter was the front end, HTML, CSS, styling our components, styling our different elements inside our web pages, and also having the knowledge skill to put it inside the backend circle, the backend aspect of web development. So right now we're just focusing mainly on the foundational skills. So what it is important to be thinking while we're coding, while we're building, let's say, a web page. Let's say we, like a name would be Mark. Mark would think that he is a painter and he wants to build a web page, like a one page representative, representing his skills of art, like painting. What colors does he like? What kind of brushes does he like? Something like that. In general, so we want Mark to build a page. What do we as web developers think first when trying to build Mark's web page? So before actually trying to build something, we need to structure it out. We need to have an organization styling, like a draft of a page that we need to have in mind before actually writing the code about it. So this is the very first thing that we can use in our minds in order to start processing the whole aspect of the web page that we want to build for Mark. So we have to first build on the basics. So we have to acknowledge prior discussions with Mark. We have to tell him what our part of the development is and what is his part, his expectations. So discussions with Mark, with the client on both the front end and the back end. How would you like to build something that is representative on your work? So basically, if we want now in this example to build like a web page, we mainly need like HTML, CSS, nothing more. We just need to showcase his work, nothing too particular, except if we want to, let's say, have Mark communicate with his followers, with his, I don't know, clients, be able to fill in the contact forms and stuff. So This is also the type where we kind of actually might need to put in a contact form or any other type of form that shows these results from the clients or followers to Mark. So we have to focus on refining skills through the best practices. So what does this mean? Like, we have to consider a plan. So first plan was to have a discussion with Mark. What does he want? How we can achieve this and stuff. And then we have to pick our skill set. What are we actually going to build? In how long would it take us to build this web page for Mark? So this is actually the second thing that we can have in mind and we can consider before building the page for Mark. Evolving in the front end aspect of the area is, of course, the very basic things that we need because it is a web page. We have to have in mind how important and how difficult it is, the project, to manage. So if we're talking about like a company website that handles products and then orders and then contact forms and emails and God knows what, then of course we don't need all of the time to choose HTML, CSS, JavaScript. There are plenty of frameworks or other platforms that we may use like WordPress or maybe Shopify or anything like that, that can handle all this type of stuff instead of us trying to build everything and develop everything, but just like from scratch. So in our case, while building a web page for Mark, we might need to be precise on our options. Like, a web page doesn't require anything except some HTML, CSS knowledge. Maybe some JavaScript might be needed if we want some interaction to the page, like image carousels or, I don't know, anything that can be shown as like smooth transitions and animations on the site might be needed. Then yes, of course, we can use JavaScript for that. But development skills are very important when we're actually trying to come up with the skill set that we're going to use on our project. So best practices include development skills inside. Enhancing our skills with the clean code after we start programming and coding the web page for our client Mark, we need to have some basic structure in our code. So clean code is the very first thing that we can consider. We don't need to write functions inside other functions inside other functions with different aspects of JavaScript knowledge and JavaScript flows. We just need to be simple and precise. We don't need to be creating like the masterpiece of code just to impress Mark and stuff. Mark just needs his work done. He just wants a page to showcase his work. He just needs a page to be able to communicate with his clients, nothing more. So this is an important aspect. Clean code has to be taken into consideration. So after we select the clean code as a best practice, which is actually for me, this is the most important thing. I have read, I don't know if you guys have read that before. There is a book that's called Clean Code. I remember winning it from an Instagram actually giveaway. I don't remember from whom though, but it was just great. I remember reading it during my summer holidays and it was amazing. Like, be able to build something that you're proud of, not something you want to impress someone with. Like, oh my God, yes, I'm going to create this amazing function with 100 million lines of code and then a function with, let's say, a long name as my grandfather's name. Let's say 100 character function. No, functions need to be short and on point. If we want to create a counter for our web page function, the name of the function should be like function counter. It's like this, just one word, two words maximum that you can have showing off the function utility. How is the function being used inside the code and what does it do? That's all. So clean code, is for me at least the most important stuff that you have to consider when trying to start or are in the middle or finishing a project on web development. So performance optimization is the second one that I would like to say, because performance actually is the points where I struggle most personally, because I haven't read so much about it. Performance is actually, I could say, one of the weakest points that I have. I don't know some of the aspects that Google has to show me. Let's say sometimes, right now I'm just building an app with React, and sometimes when I just go on the Google Lighthouse functionality that Google has, it says like performance 55%, how can I improve my performance? So performance is actually how well is your website doing? How well is your project doing? What does this mean is like, we need to know sometimes how fast the users are able to navigate to our site, how fast the images and the texts are getting loaded, and how fast our data is getting stored. So performance optimization needs to have the second place in this episode, because it's actually the second most important thing. If your code is clean, then of course code will be run faster, much faster than every other line of code that might be used just to impress someone. I would not like to create a web page that it is 900 lines just to prove that I can create amazing animations with 100 million lines of code just to impress someone on GitHub. We just need our code to be clean and simple. This way we can achieve clean code and of course performance, which is actually a pretty good thing. And users, followers, or customers will be happy to, of course, navigate our site. So after that, if we left the front-end area and the development skills that we need, just like HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and then clean code and performance, we head back to the advanced backend. Let's say Mark just wants this newsletter subscription and then a contact form. So in this case, my mind as an older type of programmer would go directly into PHP. So for now, there is one functionality that I'm building for my app that is called Email.js, which is an NPM package that you can import in your project and handle the emails that can be sent from you onto the user that is using your app or customer or follower or anything like that. So in my case, I'm just using Email.js just to let everyone have a warm welcome whenever they register their account on my app. So this is a good part to begin with while considering a backend language on your project. So if Mark is doing something like that and wants to integrate like a backend language or just like an email subscription flow on their website, then you can consider the previous episode that we had on the backend skills. The backend skills that we discussed about was on the second episode was actually detailing every aspect of backend languages that we have and can be used to achieve certain things. When we want, though, to go back to the development techniques that we want to dive into, there are some very advanced backend practices. The first one for me is actually security. How well can you write your code in order for any malicious user, hacker, and all that stuff to be able to access it without any harm? So security plays a very, very important role in the development of your backend flow, because it simply protects your site. Whatever you do, you know back in your mind that you're safe and you cannot be stressing about things because you have actually set a very good flow functionality on your page and everything is working fine. And after that, of course, this second one, after the security, the second one is actually brought by the performance optimization that we talked about previously, but the efficient code structure should be also a second thing to consider. As we talked about the clean code practices in the development skills, also in the front end, but also in the back end too, we need to have efficient code structure. We need to know where to put something, why we put it there. And of course, the purpose we have for this backend functionality, what could be other issues lying behind this whole show that we're putting into the backend language. So then Mark can be happy and stress-free of his all of his work, and would not need to consider anything in terms of security and hacking and all of that stuff. But if we'd like to integrate the front end, of course, we'd like to also have another thing into consideration. So stress interconnected nature of front-end and back-end development. This could actually be an issue to some developers that are actually trying to begin with their journey and trying to connect both the front-end functionality and the back-end functionality that they created. I remember most of my first development days, I started doing like HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, and then I started with the React, just like picking the very basic steps of web development right from the beginning. But, you know, if you have like a front-end flow, like a front-end background, you don't actually know where to put something like that into the back-end, how to connect these two. So I started learning some PHP. So PHP actually helped me with this issue that I had, because PHP works like HTML, and HTML can be integrated between PHP and the backend, and you can also connect your database with it. Like for a project I remember, I connected PHP with SQLite 3, and it was a program that I created for secretaries to show who came into a building and who went out and went in, that kind of stuff. So this could be also taken care of, like the fourth point, the stress that gets to you when you're actually needing to connect these two functionalities together. This can be divided into different parts. This is not the actual episode that I can be describing you the way to do this, but we'll put it in the next or maybe in the future episodes for this year. And the same will go to the backend practices. If we'd like to create something like very stable and secure for Mark, then we have to have into consideration what we previously said about the skills and the best practices. So we need to discuss the holistic approach if we want to build a robust and efficient web application. For our sake, it's like a web page. So for the backend at least, which is for me kind of more difficult to understand and all of that stuff, we have to have an approach how we can start at least with the backend of our services. After that, of course, the final thing that we can consider about this development for Mark and his page, we have to have in mind how to adapt to the industry. So we all know that we can stay, make a good coffee or a good tea, just like open the heating, put on our best coding clothes and sit on the on front of our screen, just start typing this code and build something that we think it's good. But most of the cases it's not, because if we'd like to build like a web page and we start creating something with, let's say, the most advanced platform or advanced framework that we can use for just to build a web page, I don't think this is the right approach. As I said previously, I think that the best approach to build something very, very basic is either use something that is ready to go. There are tons of templates ready to be used. If you copy and paste everything inside and change just the text, you can do this. It's your own choice, you can do this. But personally, I prefer creating something on my own with a simple skill set. Like HTML, CSS, JavaScript is the most basic thing to do it. No one will tell you anything about it. You just build something for your client that it's usable, it is robust, and it's efficient, and it's secure. So no one's going to tell you anything. You should not be taking into consideration anyone's mind of what you built with the very basic skill set of what you had, actually. HTML, CSS, JavaScript is the most powerful trio that you can find out there. So you have to adapt to the industry. You have to check what is best for you to do when you're building it. So if you'd like to build something in 2024 right now for Mark and a web page doesn't require any specific type of development or skill set in the industry. You can just build it, as we said before, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, or maybe try something that is ready to go, a template, or just use React. You can do anything that you like, no worries. But if you'd like to build something that's very big, like a huge project with products, as we said, and contact forms and email services and subscriptions and orders, then you might need to consider what's best for you to try and what is like future efficient, what can be used now and easily be changed maybe in the future. Maybe you can use React now, but you cannot use it in the future for some reason and you need to change it. Would you think that changing it to React in the future might, I don't know, cancel the whole project and you have to build it all over again from the beginning? Maybe. So that's why we need to adapt to the industry and we need to acknowledge the nature of web development, because web development is a huge part of the industry and we need to adapt on each change and each update that we have getting introduced to. So we need to encourage, as we said previously, the continuous evolution of the web development and the trends and the skills that they have to show to us as web developers. But that's all for today, because we said that how important it is to build on the basics that we have, to evolve on the front-end skills that we have built through the time, and develop the skills that we have, like clean code practices, which is one of the most important things for me, the performance optimization, and how to get advanced in the backend area of our development. Also, we talked about the development techniques where we need to dive into the advanced backend practices as the security and efficient code structure and so many more that we can discuss about. And also we said about the integration of the front-end flow, how sometimes can be stressing to interconnect the nature of the front-end and the back-end development together. How difficult it was for me to go from HTML, CSS, JavaScript and React to the PHP world in the back-end and the SQLite with the databases. And of course, how integrating the front-end and the back-end practices and how we can think of discussing an approach for a robust and efficient web application that we need to build. Finally, all of that can be summarized into adapting to industry. How we can acknowledge the dynamic nature of web development field and how we can encourage ourselves to continue evolving with the trends that come from the industry and the skill updates. So that's what I have for you for today's episode. If you liked this episode, please put a like and maybe a good comment. I hope you liked it. We can go on with the fourth episode next time. So next Saturday will it be. Thank you very much. I was Harry and this was the Full Stack Radio.